Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This morning, our study will be in the book of Luke, chapter 12. Our sermon text this morning is Luke, chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, "Fool." Coming up soon is April 1st. It's a day referred to as April Fool's Day. No one knows for certain when or where this day began, but it's celebrated in one form or another, often by other names, in many countries around the world. There have been many practical jokes pulled on folks in recognition of this day. The British Broadcasting Corporation, one of our most reputable media outlets, in 1957, reported that there had been an exceptionally heavy spaghetti crop in Switzerland that year. And it was due in part to the virtual disappearance of the spaghetti weevil. They showed footage of spaghetti harvesters picking noodles from the trees. People called in from everywhere wanting to know how they could get their hands on these spaghetti bushes. On April Fool's Day in 1996, Taco Bell announced that they had purchased, true story, the Liberty Bell. And they were going to name it the Taco Liberty Bell. Following that trend, later in the day, same day, same year, the press secretary for the White House announced that in conjunction with that early announcement, they would be selling the Lincoln Memorial and renaming it the Ford Lincoln Mercury Memorial. These are true stories. Foolishness. And lastly, my favorite, and I remember this, in April 1985, Sports Illustrated had a cover story about a rookie pitcher by the name of Sid Finch. And he was signed by the New York Mets. Nobody knew this kid. But apparently he was trained by Buddhist monks, and he was said to have a 168-mile-per-hour fastball that he could throw with pinpoint accuracy. New York Met fans rejoiced. And they were furious when they found out it was an April Fool's joke. It is amazing the foolish things people will believe and do. Perhaps none is sadder or more common than the one in which we find our sermon text this morning, taken from the parable of the rich fool. To understand our sermon text a little bit better, let's look at it in its context. We will read Luke chapter 12, verses 13 through 21. Then one from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness. For one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, "The ground of a certain rich man yielded plentiful. And he thought within himself, saying, 'What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?' So he said, 'I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God.'" Many of us may be familiar with this parable. I believe, however, the thing that sticks out the most in my mind about this story is the fact that God calls this man a fool. You know, God doesn't play around with that word. The word fool means a person without reason. It means a person without common sense. Empty. Devoid of any sense. You know, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 22, "But I say to you that whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire." Jesus doesn't take that word fool lightly. And yet in this passage, God calls the man a fool. He doesn't call him a fool because he's a crook. He doesn't call him a fool because he's dishonest. There's nothing in this passage, in this parable, to suggest that this man accumulated his wealth by swindling people. And God doesn't call him a fool because he fails to plan ahead. You know, in our society today, this man in our parable would probably be considered a success. Businesses would try to get him on their boards. Clubs would love to have him listed as a member of their organization. But God calls him a fool because he lives as though his life is all about him. Psalm 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." The fool is a person who lives as though God does not exist. He may not actually say it, but in his actions, in his lifestyle, in his priorities, in the way he spends his time, in the things he does, he lives as though God does not exist. We see it very clearly in this parable that Jesus told. So what can we learn from this? How can we apply this to our lives? This morning we're going to look at four characteristics that we find evident in a foolish person. First, a foolish person is a thankless person. If you look in your Bible, in verses 16 through 19 of our parable, 12 times in these verses, this man says, "I," or "me," or "myself," or something similar to the possessive. 12 times in just 4 verses, he thinks or he talks about himself, his stuff, the things he's done, what he's accomplished, and what he will do. 12 times! Not once in this whole parable does he ever think, mention, or say, "Thank you." Not one time. He could plant and till. He could harvest and collect. He could tear down and build. But he couldn't cause it to rain. And he didn't cause the sun to shine. It wasn't him who kept the bugs and the disease away from his crops. It wasn't him that caused the seed to grow. And yet he thought he had accomplished everything that he saw by himself and was grateful to no one. He never thanked God for what he had. He never thanked God for his health. He never thanked God for the blessings that he had. He thought it all came as a result of his efforts. You know, we live in a society today that is marked by selfishness. We live in a society where many believe that all that they have is a result of their own efforts. My friends, God has blessed this nation. In many countries, you have armed guards patrolling your neighborhood to keep people from killing you or from stealing everything you have. Do you honestly believe that you have worked harder or planned better than many of the people who struggle in Africa or South America just to put food on the table every day? Trust me, they try as hard as you do, as we do. The freedom that we have here in this nation, the blessings, the riches and the liberty that we have is because of God's blessings. And it's also because of the sacrifices of other Americans. A foolish person forgets all of that. And it's a thankless person. And you know why? Characteristic number two. A foolish person is blinded by lies. Look at verse 19. What will I do? I'll build better barns. I'll store up my stuff. And then I'll enjoy myself. More will make me happy. Oh, the lies that have blinded all of us over the centuries. Eve was blinded in the garden. She traded paradise for pain. David was blinded on top of his palace. If only I have that woman, I'll be happy. Traded God's blessing for misery. Solomon, if I can keep these women happy, then I'll be happy. Wrong. If you do what God has called you to do, then you will have peace that you are seeking. If I have more stuff, it will make me content. We may not say it like that, but it's close. We say, I really want this. You know, believing the lies on TV that this new car or this bigger house or these whiter teeth or shinier and bouncier hair will make me happy. We believe that. You know, in these days with the media, we're combined with misguided people and misguided media. And we bought into the lie that more is better when the opposite is true. I'll give you an illustration. Picture a shipwrecked sailor on a life raft in the middle of the ocean. His terrible thirst impels him to drink the salt water. But it only makes him thirstier. This causes him to drink even more, which makes him thirstier still. He consumes more and more and more of the salty water until, illogically, he becomes dehydrated and dies. More is not always better. Characteristic number three of a fool. A foolish person forgets others. Look at our friend in the parable. I'm going to take it easy. It's all about me. He forgets about all the others. What about us? Do we practice what God teaches? Galatians 6:2, bear one another's burdens. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, forgiving one another. Colossians 3:16, teach and admonish one another. 1 Thessalonians 4:18, comfort one another. Hebrews 10:24, consider one another to stir up love and good works. We need to take care of each other. We need to think about each other. 1 Peter 3:8, be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous. Galatians 5:13, serve one another. And Romans 12:10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. My brothers and sisters, why do you think God left you here after you became a believer? It was to witness and to serve other people. You know, I've said this before from the pulpit as Pastor James, we need to be prepared. Which leads us to characteristic number four. The foolish person forgets the future. Let me ask you right now, are you right with God? Question you can ask yourself. Am I right with God? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior? That He shed His blood and He died on the cross for your sins? Do you believe? Do you share this news of eternal salvation with other people? Yeah, I'm reminded of the jailer in Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. He didn't forget the future. The Bible tells us, and he brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." Look at the end of this parable. God told the fool in the parable, scary words, I might add, "This night your soul will be required of you." Required. Be prepared. Jesus was prepared at the cross when he said in Luke 23:46, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." It was the same thing with Stephen in Acts 7:59. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen said, "I'm ready to go home." Why? Because he had prepared. He was ready. He had planned for the future. Will you be a fool and not be ready? It's a question we should ask ourselves and ask others. Will you be like the righteous? In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 40, the righteous. The Bible tells us, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison or come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to the one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" You see, they had prepared. This man, this foolish man in today's parable, he didn't prepare for the real and lasting and eternal truth of the future. He didn't prepare. He had a choice, and he chose wrong. Understand this. You too have a choice. You can choose the side that leads to hell. You can choose the world. You can choose your own trinity of me, myself, and I. Or you can choose the path that Jesus leads you to. The path to eternal salvation in heaven. You can choose the one and only Trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. "No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," which is greed. I will close with this final illustration. There was an incredibly large group of people assembled. On one side of the group stood a man, Jesus. On the other side of the group stood another man, Satan. Separating them, running through the group, was a fence. The scene set. Both Jesus and Satan began calling to the people in the group, And one by one, each of them having made up his or her mind, each went to either Jesus or Satan. And this kept going. And eventually Jesus had gathered around him a group of people from the larger crowds, as did Satan. But one man joined neither group. He climbed the fence that was there, and he sat on it. And Jesus and his people left, and they disappeared, as did Satan and his people. And the man on the fence sat alone. As this man sat there, Satan came back, and he appeared to be looking for something that he lost. So the man said, "Have you lost something?" Satan looked straight at him and replied, "No, there you are. Come with me." And the man said, "But I sat on a fence. I chose neither you nor him." Satan looked at him and said, "That's okay. I own the fence." Joshua 24:15, "Choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray everyone here in this room within earshot of this message knows the choice that they have to make, knows the grace that you offer them, the forgiveness that you offer them, your son Jesus that you offer them. Lord, I pray that we recognize the characteristics of a fool and we learn not to be that way. That we learn to love each other, comfort each other, share the good news with each other, be a reflection of Jesus Christ to each other. Lord, I pray that we are a beacon of light in this dark world. And we share the truth with those around us. We thank you for your love, for your word, and for Jesus. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.